Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of the Commercial Connection podcast. I'm your host, Spencer Taylor with Mill Creek Commercial. It's an honor and privilege to have you here with us today listening in. My guest today is Nathan Webb, an exchange specialist with American Accommodators out of California. Nathan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Spencer. It's my pleasure to be here.
Nathan is the go-to help and consultant and question answer for everything 1031 at American Exchange Accommodators. So
that tends to be the role that I fulfill. I get all the questions, so I've just accepted it. This is my fate. This is what I do. If I don't have the answer because I've answered them enough times, I know where to go get it. And who to direct you to if you need to be directed to anyone. But usually I just answer a lot of questions.
Right on. We'll get into some of that a little bit later. But Nathan, first, before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself, family, hobbies, interests. What do you do when you're not doing 1031 exchanges?
What I do when I'm not doing exchanges is I try to take care of myself. And I usually try to take my mind off of all these what can be complex exchanges, so it's just a lot of things bouncing around my brain. So I actually do jujitsu,
cool.
Have a local gym, and there's nothing like, it's not a true fight for your life, but pseudo fighting for your life. You don't think about work, and so that's like my hobby right now. I'm not like, some awesome black belt or anything like that. It's just great exercise. Really gets my mind off of it. But other than that, it's family. I have four children. Cool. We have an office in Los Angeles, which is where we used to live. But like many exchangers, we are getting out of there. And my family and I moved to the Atlanta area a couple years ago, almost 3 years ago. So Loving Atlanta, loving the life here. It's just a little bit better suited to family, but we still do have family in the Los Angeles area. So we're connected on both coasts, is how I like to put it.
Wonderful. That sounds like fun. Sounds like you're busy all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a couple of kids will do that, you probably have more than me, Spencer.
we are welcoming our seventh on August 2nd. So man, I'm running around in circles all day, every day.
I tapped out at four, man. I got a feed for it. Like I just had to tap out. I was like, this is where we're done.
but just kind of back to your point, for me, it's like family. I love being a dad. I love family. I love doing things with my kids, taking them on adventures, helping them experience the world, in kind of the right way. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's meaningful, right? Not that 1031 exchanges aren't meaningful, because I believe for everyone doing an exchange, a 1031 deferring those taxes is very, very, very meaningful. But
yes,
going home and playing with the kids, that's so much fun. So much fun.
And they actually segue well together, because most people don't realize the 1031 exchange is over 100 years old.
Yeah.
The whole point is, hey, you did a good job in real estate. You want to keep your money in real estate, keep cash flowing or whatever. Like, that's what this is there for. Keep doing good real estate. And then it has kind of segues into a way where you can spend more time with your family by utilizing this and getting away from active management into more passive income streams. And, keep that equity rolling, keep the cash flow coming in. And now you're like, wait, I can take a breath now. I don't have to be going 100% because I'm getting older.
Yeah.
And it solves so many problems. And it's been around forever. It's just, and educating people on it is a lot of what I do.
Well, and we're kind of off topic here, but not really off topic that much. It just helps align people's incentives, right, with how they feel on the inside. It aligns their real estate decisions with how they feel on the inside. A lot of people, I want to retire, spend time with the grandkids. Managing the fourplex or eightplex or 16-plex is a burden. I'm going to exchange into something less of a burden. Mm-hmm. And it just helps. It just helps everyone kind of make the natural decision in their life at that time. Right. Anyway, mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. So California has this clawback thing. I think mm-hmm. this confuses a lot of people. And so let's dive into that. Let's talk about what is this California clawback? Who does it affect? What are the rules? Kind of help us with the 30,000 foot view of what does California mean when it says, when we hear this California clawback clause?
What it essentially is California wants a prepayment of your taxes upfront as soon as you sell a property, an investment property. They want those taxes up front. So it's like a prepayment. It's only what would be due. So it could qualify for a refund. They just want it in their coffers rather than yours. So if you didn't, let's just say you didn't engage in a 1031 exchange and you just sold an investment property, you would have to fill out a form 593 with the California Franchise Tax Board, which is in essence the IRS for the state of California. So you're going to owe some of those taxes to them up front that the IRS is not even asking for at this point. They're going to file those when you file those.
When you say up front, you mean at closing?
At closing, if you do not engage in a 1031. If you do, right, you're entering into that deferral process.
Okay.
And so there's nothing for them to claw back. You didn't take constructive receipt of those funds. And so California can't do that. However, where it comes into the 1031 exchange is if you failed your exchange or you had any boot from your exchange, or if you took boot out up front when you sold your property and sent, you know, the majority of your funds to the QI, mm-hmm. that's fine too. You will have to fill out a form 593 for whenever you took that boot, either prior or at the end of your exchange, or if you failed your exchange on day 45, you didn't identify, something like that. So before we can even send your money back, we have to send it to the Franchise Tax Board of California and then send you the remainder. So we're kind of on the hook for that too, for the exchanger to send that back to the California Franchise Tax Board. But it's for your taxes, the taxpayer, the person doing the sale or the exchange. So you need to talk with your CPA about it, but we're kind of involved in that process, unfortunately, due to that clawback clause.
So an investor owns a rental property in California and then they sell it. That's the only time this exists, right? It doesn't apply if you own in New Mexico.
Correct. Only the state of California, which also has the highest state level of capital gains taxes in the entire nation.
Yeah.
Right. So some states have, hey, there's no income tax. That means no capital gains due on sale. Other right. states have a smaller amount. California's goes the highest, goes up to 13.3%, I think, at the highest level.
Yeah.
And it's graded just like it's got 10 grades or something like that. Whereas, you know, federal has three, it's 0, 15, or 20. Yeah. California's got all these various stages, but you're paying 7-8%. And so they want most or all of that, you know, as much as they can up front, essentially.
So what you're saying is someone sells a rental property in the state of California, and then they decide not to do a 1031 exchange, take all the money into their bank account, and at closing, what, the title company fills out this form or
escrow or title company says, great, you've closed. We have the money we want to send to you. Fill out your form 593. Tell us how much we have to send to the California Franchise Tax Board, and then we'll send you the remainder. So you have to tell us or the escrow what to send into the FTB, but you've got to know kind of what that is. And there's several different ways to write the form. You can't take none, you know, you can't send in zero. There's maybe a couple instances where you could, but they're just looking for every little penny they can get up front before you would file your tax return at the end of the year.
So what, when you breach this topic with landlords that you work with, do a lot of them know about this? Is this common knowledge? Do they know they're going to have to fill out this form if they opt out of doing a 1031 exchange?
I mean, it hits them in the face when they do it.
I can imagine, like, don't shoot the messenger.
Well, I mean, we haven't caught a whole lot of flack as we're the messenger. I think most people have, you know, they're aware of this because it's been around for a while. I'm not exactly sure how many years. It's at least 3 or 4. But so they're not completely caught off guard by it. Most of them that are in the investment space to begin with in California. And then the other side of that is most people aren't surprised. So even if we're telling them for the first time, they're just like, oh, of course, California, of course. You know, like, that's why I'm leaving the state. You know, many stay in California, no offense to California, but it's just like one of those, they're almost like expected. Oh, of course, there's another tax form for the state of California that I have to deal with, along with the highest tax percentages in the nation.
So, okay, so that's interesting. I've also heard if you sell a rental property in the state of California, and then you do an exchange out of the state of California, let's say you buy in Georgia, for example, does the clawback, and let's say you use all your exchange funds and you complete a full exchange, is there any sort of clawback that they should be worried about down the road?
I can't tell you with 100% certainty, because, you know, we're a qualified intermediary. We handle the exchange. We're not a CPA. We don't handle your taxes. I know that there has been certainly some talks. I don't know if legislation has passed, but I think it had to do with, I don't know if it's capital gains or income or what exactly, probably capital gains, but yeah, they're trying to basically get that tax from you. Even if you move to another state, let's say you're someone like Joe Rogan, for example, who may not have a whole lot of real estate, but they have assets, they had a large income, you know, they're reporting taxes in the state of California as a resident. Now they're a resident of another state. You know, do you still owe a certain amount of taxes back to California even after you left? I know there's been some interesting legislation that either they have passed or have tried to pass about that. But this particular clawback that we're talking about has been in place, and it is only for this form 593 is only for when you're selling investment property.
Right.
Might even be, but because I'm not an escrow either personally, like I'm not an escrow officer. You know, you get into a section 121 exclusion, which is, you know, if you're single, you can get up to 250,000 of your capital gains on a primary residence, not an investment property, forgiven, which is better than deferral, but forgiven, up to that 250,000. But you may even have to pay them if it goes over that. I'm not sure. Right. So it may deal with even more than just investment property. I know that if you do engage in a 1031 and you do a fully deferred 1031 exchange, you're not filling out this form. You're not doing that prepayment. Now, would that follow you for 10, 20, 30 years, potentially, unless you defer in perpetuity, right? Which there are options for. You might end up still owing them to some degree, but at that point, you're probably paying those back taxes. And so there's no form 593. It's just, okay, well, you owe these from the deferral. So let's just do it for 2019 or whenever you sold.
So that's interesting. That's interesting. So I know a lot of realtors are helping landlords, small landlords. They own 4, 5, 6 rental properties. And maybe their purpose is to get out of California. Maybe their purpose isn't to get out of California. But what if you could sit down with an agent who's about to go to a listing appointment for a rental, what can that agent say? What can that agent share with that landlord to kind of help them understand if a 1031 exchange is right for them, benefits of a 1031, consequences of not doing a 1031, kind of all of that? What would you hope that realtor shares with the landlord?
Well, I would like to hope and think, and most realtors know about the Section 121 exclusion on a primary residence, which is what a lot of them deal with. But yeah, mm-hmm. California has a ton of rental property. If I think they know a little bit about the 1031, if they deal with any sort of investor, but I would like them to know more property qualifies for a 1031 exchange than you're aware of. So mm-hmm. essentially, if it's not a flip, you know, where you're selling in less than a year, you bought it and sold in less than a year, and it's not a primary residence, it most likely qualifies for a 1031 exchange. And just to say, hey, this may qualify for a 1031 exchange, your tax burden could be pretty high, like very easily 15 to 20% in California, more even quickly, you know, paying more than that, and also depreciation recapture.
Uh-huh.
Like all of that gets deferred if you engage in a 1031. Are you looking to go to more real estate? As long as you're going into real estate, which a lot of things qualify as real property for a 1031 exchange purposes, like just bring it up to them, because a lot of people don't know. They just bought properties. They've never really sold them. And I tell a lot of realtors, like, if you just know about the 1031, it can say, hey, you can save a lot of money and stay in real estate and keep your equity rolling and get, you know, more cash flow or go to another state. Just talk to someone who knows about the 1031, you know, or even just do a Google search about what is a 1031 and how can I utilize it. And if that meets, you know, what they are looking to do, engage in one, because the consequences are the same if you succeed. I mean, if you just sell, or you engage in a 1031 and yet even fail it completely, you don't complete it. You know, you just say, hey, I couldn't find what I wanted, I'm going to fail. Great. You still get your money back, your equity back. You're still going to have to pay the FTB what they want, but you rolled the dice, you took the chance, and you had a massive savings opportunity just by engaging.
I think there are some agents out there who think, okay, this deal is volatile. This deal's fragile. I don't want to rock the boat, so I'm not going to bring anything up. And I hope an agent realizes, okay, you're helping your client when you ask the question, simple question, do you plan on doing a 1031 exchange?
Right. You will find out so much if they even know about it. And you'd be surprised how many investors don't.
Right.
You know, and not to say that the realtor should be the expert, de facto expert on 1031 exchanges, but they should know that it exists and how to utilize one, because imagine saving a client, and especially in California, even hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes, right? They're going to love you forever for just bringing it up.
Yeah.
Right. And I know a lot of them who, you know, they found out from their CPA down the line, oh, I should have done this.
Yeah.
You know, and it could have easily been solved, or at least the realtor told them and they talked to their CPA, which some of them even have a hard time getting hold of, but they at least talked to their CPA and they're, oh yeah, you should tell, you're going to owe that. They're the ones who can give you the exact number. Your CPA can.
Yeah.
But then they're going to be like, oh, I can save that much. Yeah, I'm absolutely going to do this. I'm happy to go into more real estate.
Yeah, even if it's like, hey, what are your plans for a 1031? Oh, what is that? And the agent can say, glad you asked. Can I schedule a call with Nathan?
Yeah.
He helps people do 1031 exchanges. Can I schedule a conference call? The three of us can talk.
Yes, I do those all the time.
Like the landlord would be like, great. I don't need to get into the weeds of this, but I know it can help me. So it's worth, like, the agent doesn't need to know that much, right?
No, you're not, you know, if you're a realtor listening to this, you don't need to be their tax advisor.
Yeah.
No, like I'm not their tax advisor. Mm-hmm. I am an exchange advisor. I talk strictly about the 1031 exchange, and I can give you some generalized numbers, but I don't know your income. I didn't do your tax returns last year. I don't know what you've made. I can't give you any exact numbers, but I can give you some generalities.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, you know, is this something that makes sense for you? Yeah. If it doesn't, I'm totally fine with that. But I educate probably 95% of the time is just education about you know, what you can do with a 1031 or what you're actually doing when you defer those taxes and what rules you need to abide by.
Perhaps another strategy for an agent is, hey, you're selling a rental property. You will prepay your taxes on your gains at closing, just so you know.
Yeah.
And right there, the landlord's like, oh, yeah, okay, I kind of know that, but how can I avoid it? Like every landlord is probably thinking, is there a way I can avoid this, right? Again, conversation for whether a 1031 exchange is the right strategy.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you even touched on it prior. A more common strategy is, you know, the realtor is like, hey, this deal is fragile. They want the deal. Great, yeah, get the deal. Being able to say, hey, have you thought about a 1031, or talk to Nathan about engaging in one, can actually secure the listing and get you the sale, because they're like, wait, I don't want to sell because I owe this. I'm going to owe this many taxes, right? I'll just manage it into oblivion, you know, or something like that. And they're already thinking, I don't want to fix the toilets again. I don't want to replace another water heater. And it's just like, you're like, hey, I got buyers. You're getting top dollar right now.
Yeah.
You do a 1031, you know, those all of those issues go away. You keep your money, right? You're putting it into more real estate that's maybe paying better cash flow, or it's just a more strategized, safer return for a variety of reasons, more passive. I mean, there's so many reasons why, but you can secure the listing that way, you know, just by having a little bit of knowledge.
One agent told me he got the listing. I'm sorry, she got the listing because she brought up 1031 exchanges, and he had a nephew who's an agent, and she got the listing.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
If you just have a little bit of knowledge and you can show your expertise, it's huge.
Yeah.
You don't need to know the whole tax code. Like I bang my head against the wall dealing with all day. You don't have to do it. It's just like, oh, hey, I know that you can defer those taxes. You can keep your money and roll into more real estate. Let's talk to Nathan. I'll outline the process for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else we should know about this clawback principle that is really, it's really within just a small handful of states, California being probably the major one.
Yeah. I just think it's so relevant to California. You know, we do exchanges nationwide, and quite a few coming out of California. So we just have to deal with it. It's also the highest, again, we said this, it's the highest taxed state in the nation.
Yeah.
And so any time that you can just keep more of that in your own pocket or make the sound investment yourself as an exchanger, you know, it helps you. Like, I don't know what the state of California is doing with that money, but yeah, you've got more paperwork, it's more paperwork and headache almost probably to go through that clawback process than to just engage in a 1031 and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of as we wrap up here, Nathan, which we're appreciative of your time. Thank you. What trends are you seeing in kind of the 1031 world that have maybe made themselves known over the last couple months, 18 months, basically since the interest rates have gone funky? What have you been seeing in terms of trends, 1031 trends?
In general, because of the rate hikes, transaction volume's probably down across the board.
Yep.
Right. So speaking back to realtors, I think knowing this can really help you get more transactions across the board.
Yeah.
We're still seeing exchanges. We're seeing where people maybe they didn't have a whole lot of debt, or they did have a whole lot of debt that they have to replace in their 1031, and they don't want to do that at a higher rate. Or they're just like, well, I was hoping to exchange into something and recapitalize, but I've got I've got a large amount of equity and I actually have cash. They can actually pay for that difference in debt with cash.
Uh-huh.
You know, so let's just very broad example, you know, they're able to sell for $1 million and they had maybe a $100,000 or $200,000 note debt on their property. So it's majority equity easily, but they have that cash, or they have, you know, a self-directed IRA or solo 401k, or even just, you know, a life insurance policy that they can leverage for themselves, to loan to themselves, to go buy an all equity deal. You know, there's also people out there that put high leverage on replacement, you know, properties. You can assume those loans. So a lot of things qualify. And I'm seeing more people just being more debt sensitive. I'm not sure what I'm going to be able to do or what's available. There's just so much available, you know? And it's so much less about, you know, oh, the transactions are down, I don't know what to do. And I mean, you're also able to get deals out there too. If you're just looking to buy another, hey, I'm going to sell a triplex, and buy a couple duplexes, or a couple more triplexes in California, you're able to get better prices on those. So there's even in a high, you know, interest rate environment, there's still opportunity out there.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to keep executing on your strategy and your growth plan for investors. And there's no reason for realtors to, you know, be down in the dumps about transaction numbers being down. All those things are still possible in this environment, and they'll change down the road too.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I saw numbers, even when you compare today's prices in most markets to 2 years ago, most people are still up over the period, which is,
you still had so much appreciation in the last couple of years, because when those rates hit that rock bottom, the prices were really starting to ramp up, but some people got in, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. They're still, if they exited today, that those prices are not where they bought it. They've still seen quite a bit of appreciation. And it's just a matter of, hey, maybe you're worried about interest rates continuing to rise, right? Or maybe they've kind of found their peak. Either way you look at it, you're still probably exiting. And, you know, maybe you want to take that money out of California, something that has a little more cash flow, something that's got a little bit better investment profile, and just take it and move. It's still a good time to do that.
Cool.
It's no 2008, 9, 10 or anything like that.
Yeah. Nathan, thank you very much. Appreciate your expertise on all this. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm here to educate. I'm just the resident advisor. This is all I do, is educate all day. So,
and you know, just for our listeners, we're just scratching the surface here. Nathan can help you dig deep on understanding California clawback, different nuances on 1031 exchanges. Should I sell? What do I do? 45-day window, 180-day window, all of that. Nathan's happy to help. How can they get a hold of you, Nathan, if they want to reach out and pick your brain?
I'm happy if they email me directly. That's fine. As long as I say it here, then it's only for the listeners, right? Those that are actually listening. But my name's Nathan, and my email is nathan@aa1031.com. And you can call me on my direct line. It's 470-387-1031. Pretty easy to remember. Call, text me, throw your questions at me. This is what I do. So I'm usually pretty happy to answer them. I may not be available at that exact moment, probably because I'm on the other line with someone else answering the same questions, but I'll get back to you for sure.
Nathan, thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you. If you feel like this has been worthwhile, number one, share it. Share it with that person, that landlord, that realtor who you think this will be helpful for. And then drop us a five-star rating. We would love that. And until next time, we'll see you later.